Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio with your dream divas, Teresa Chung
and Kelly Sullivan Walden. Each week, along with our recurring dream guest presenters and special guests, we'll explore the healing potential of your intuition by day and your dreams by night.
So join us
live each week
and let's discover the unexpected together.
Deep in your heart.
Every symbol, every story leaves a breadcrumb trail. The healing power of your dreams is calling through the night, turning broken pieces into wings, turning shadows into light. The healing power of your dreams knows more than you believe. A message from your deeper self. A miracle while you sleep.
Oh, Teresa. We have a powerful dream to unpack for our listeners today. I'm so excited.
Oh, I can't wait to dive in. I'm like in dream sweet shop. Gimme.
Gimme. Okay, this dream comes from Toby, who's given me permission to share his dream and his story.
Oh, is he the Grammy Award-winning alternative rock producer you tell me about?
Yes. So he's the one. So Toby spent many years recording and arranging gut-wrenching, soul-splintering rock music that he never imagined could sound like. He never imagined that sound could penetrate his body armor. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, his right eyelid began to droop. He developed numb, burning sensation in the center of his skull, symptoms suggesting serious nerve trouble in his upper spinal area.
He went to numerous Eastern and Western doctors, but no one could tell him what was wrong.
Nope. And just as hopelessness and despair were beginning to totally engulf him, Toby had a dream that kept recurring night after night. And this went on for years.
And a recurring dream, of course. You should know about that by now. Listeners, it's the psyche's version of hitting redial, trying to get a point across.
Yes, I think of it as the overzealous FedEx delivery person returning day after day until we receive their package.
Like one of your ex-boyfriends, Kelly. But anyway, let's hear the dream. Come on.
That's so true. That's a show on another day. Okay, so anyway, Toby, here's what he dreamed. I enter a large Mediterranean-style building in the countryside. Engraved overhead arches on the doorway are the words, "Home to all wholeness and well-being." I approach a blonde receptionist. Maybe it's Teresa and I don't know. But behind her are numerous colored hallways. She greets me. "Hello, Mr. Wright." Then gives me a color and a number for my room assignment. "You're in yellow 23 today," for example. I follow the appropriate colored hallway to the assigned room. From speakers mounted on the walls, I hear sound waves pulsating at different frequencies, blending in a way that restores my mind, body, and spirit.
Wow, that's not a vague little dream hint, is it, Kelly?
No.
Practically an instruction manual there.
Oh, yes, with color coding and room service to boot.
And the receptionist, Mr. Wright. Normally, we just talk about dreamers without their surnames, but in this case, this is his last name.
Exactly. I think also maybe the dream's clever way of telling him that he's on the right path at the right time, researching the right kind of sound healing, which was quite a massive departure from the guitar gnashing sounds that he had been producing.
But because he was a music producer, he already had the equipment and the expertise to explore the tones, frequencies, pulsations, and harmonies he had experienced in the dream.
Precisely. So Toby did what I talk about in dreamifesting, and you talk about this as well in Extreme Dreaming coming out. We have to take action inspired by our dreams. So Toby rolled out of bed night after night right into his studio to replicate as best as possible what he had heard in the dream.
Important point, Kelly. Dreams often don't hand us something foreign to us. They recombine our existing talents in a way the conscious mind hasn't considered yet.
Exactly. So Toby began creating healing tones for himself, for his own healing. And within a short period of time, without medication, his symptoms, ta-da, dissolved.
Going to say clearly here that this is Toby's
Yes.
personal story, not proof that sound healing alone cures illness. Anyone with
Right.
neurological symptoms should seek qualified medical care, and dreams should never replace diagnosis or treatment. However,
As we say in the disclaimer at the beginning of each episode. However, what we can stand behind is that so often a dream can inspire a question, a creative experiment, or a new way of perceiving our biology of belief. Nod to Mr. Bruce Lipton, because instead of just accepting his illness, once he found his own way to his own healing, he went on to produce 16 healing music programs. And many listeners of these tones reported feeling better, and some even described remarkable recoveries.
then a major Las Vegas casino and spa licensed his sound healing CD. So the rock producer, known for sonic intensity, became associated with healing sound, all because he listened to and then acted upon a recurring dream.
Toby is the poster child for what I call dream activation, not simply interpreting a dream, keeping it from the neck up, but asking, what is the dream inviting me to do?
Okay, but let's jump into the symbols. Let's decode
Oh,
them
yeah.
quickly, like the architecture of the dream here.
Yes.
Toby enters a beautiful Mediterranean building in the countryside. Buildings in dreams, they represent the self, the many rooms and
Yes.
halls of our psyche, our inner world. But this building announces itself as a home of wholeness and well-being.
Which suggests in many ways that wholeness isn't a location outside himself. He enters it. His dream is creating this inner sanctuary, and it's welcoming him home with a very friendly receptionist, I might add. And I can't help but think, maybe it's us.
It's us, of course, it's us. Classic threshold figure, because we moonlight in people's dreams, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes,
It's
we
the
do.
part of him that already knows how to navigate, or nightmares, I should always say.
That's
Part of
true.
him that
Yeah.
already knows how to navigate the building. The friendly part of him doesn't do the healing for him. She tells him where to go to experience the healing himself.
Like a very competent co concierge.
Five stars.
Five
Excellent
stars.
subconscious customer service there.
Right, exactly. On Yelp, she's going to get a great review. Okay, so let's talk about the colored hallways. So, color can carry emotional, energetic associations. While hallways, I have so many hallway dreams. They represent transitions, routes from one state of being to another.
And I love that his assignment changes in the dream, a particular color, a particular number, a particular room. It feels personalized, as if his dreaming mind is calibrating a different inner prescription for him each night.
And then the sound. So this is interesting because dreams are most often visual. They happen with our visual cortex, but sometimes we specifically hear sounds. I actually hear this very booming voice that, and I think when we hear a sound, like in Toby's case, we have to really pay attention. They're not random noises, especially for Toby. They were frequencies blended to restore mind and body.
Given Toby's profession, of course, the dream speaks in his native language, music.
Yeah.
Like his conscious identity, new sound as force, rebellion, and impact. His dream revealed sound as harmony, regulation, and restoration, the same
Ooh.
medium, an entirely different genre.
Good point, Teresa. Not to reject rock and roll, not at all. I think his dream was asking him maybe to up-level or diversify his relationship with sound, to go beyond the identity he had already mastered, which feels very, I don't know, beyond Darwin-esque, doesn't it?
Dream diva point there. I see what you've done,
Thank
tying in Toby's dream cleverly with our show's topic and amazing guest today. Well done, Kelly.
Thank you, Teresa. You're too kind. It's always such a special thing when you give me a compliment.
I
I'll
know,
take
I
it.
know, I know. I'm generous like
God. All right.
not so
So,
fast. We haven't yet wrapped the bow on Toby's
oh.
dream. Nearly there,
All
everyone.
right. All right. So let's talk about Toby's waking life activation, which completes the circuit, meaning it's not just about interpreting every symbol, as we've already said. It's not about doing that perfectly. It's about asking what is one grounded, physical, world-oriented step the dream is inviting me to take.
Yeah, you are what you do as well as what you
Yes.
dream. And your dream may
Yes.
not give you a colored hallway and a room number specifically, although frankly, I'd appreciate that level of organization.
Oh, yes. And as a Virgo rising, Teresa, I imagine you already do have your own personal dream
Course.
concierge receptionist.
You know my subconscious so well, dream diva sister from another mister. But the deeper question is this: what capacity for healing, adaptation, or creativity might already be inside ourselves, waiting for you to walk down the hallway and enter the room?
And what happens to the body when a new perception changes the environment within which we live?
And that's exactly where we're going right now.
Oh, and this is such a perfect place to finally bring in our very special guest. Toby's dream asks us what becomes possible when perception, environment, sound, and biology begin to communicate in a new way. And we couldn't have a more, oh, I'm going to cry, fascinating person to explore that question with. Joining us today, trumpets blare, is Bruce H. Lipton, PhD, an internationally recognized best-selling author, cellular biologist, whose work has challenged conventional thinking about the relationship between our beliefs, our environment, and our biology.
Bruce spent decades as a research scientist, including as a senior research scientist at Stanford University's School of Medicine, where his work in cellular biology explored the biochemical pathways through which the mind can influence behavior and genetic activity, work that helped pave the way for the now widely discussed field of epigenetics. He's the author of the international bestseller, The Biology of Belief. And if you haven't read that Bible, go read it right now. It's been translated into more than 50 languages and has sold over 500,000 copies worldwide. His research has also appeared in scientific journals, including Science, Nature, and the Journal of Cell Biology.
And Bruce's work has taken him well beyond the laboratory, exploring the relationship between science, consciousness, epigenetics, belief, and human potential. He was also awarded Japan's 2009 Go EAP. I don't know exactly how to say that. The
Yay!
Peace Award, the big Peace Award for his contribution to world harmony. And he also co-starred alongside one of our recent guests, Greg Braden, on the Telly Award-winning PBS Ageless Living series a few years ago. I got to interview him behind the scenes. I don't know if he remembers me because he does so many of these things, but it was also executive produced by my hubby, the one who also produced our song, Teresa,
Feeling power
and
of
our.
your dreams. Sorry.
Exactly. And our dear friend, the late, great George Capponelli. Mwah.
There's a
Love you,
lovely
George.
bit of synchronicity here, isn't it? Because Bruce
Yes.
has a new book coming out this month,
Yes.
Beyond Darwin, which explores how epigenetics, quantum science, and cooperation may shape humanity's future. Bruce, welcome. I'm doing my reality checks as I often do on this show, having someone like you here. Thank you.
It's so wonderful having you with us, Bruce.
I am so excited to be here with you. You are the receptionist, as you say, of the new future. So you're welcoming people into there's a new world, and get ready because it's more exciting than the moment we're in right
Oh,
now.
that is so true. So let's begin, Bruce, with Toby's dream. I don't know if you heard us talking about it in the beginning, but so he was led into a home of wholeness and well-being where blended sound frequencies restored his mind and body when he activated the dream in waking life. So when you hear a story like this, what connections do you see that connects perception, environment, as well as biology?
Well, I think the first thing is this, is we have to recognize that people have been blaming genes for our problems. Oh, the genes made me do this and that and that. And it turns out less than 1% of all disease is even connected to a gene. which then, offers them, where is 99% of the issue of our lives coming from? And it turns out our consciousness. And as we change our consciousness, we change our biology. That's the new science of epigenetics. Epi means above. So when you say genetics, that's what all of us have been programmed with, a very false and disempowering belief, because we've been programmed to believe that the genes turn on and off by themselves and then control our behavior, which means then, in some sense, we become victims of our heredity, that whatever genes we receive, all of a sudden that's going to shape the character of our lives. This turns out to be 100% false, that genes cannot turn on and off. Genes are simply blueprints to make proteins, which are the parts that make up the body. So genes are blueprints. I go, yeah, a blueprint cannot turn itself on and off. A blueprint needs an architect. And that's all of a sudden where the mind, the vision, the picture we hold in our mind is translated into chemistry by the brain, complementary chemistry. The chemistry coming from the brain matches the pictures in the mind. And that chemistry goes to the cells and controls the genes. So our thoughts are controlling our biology. And this is why it's so important to recognize that we are actually masters of our lives rather than being programmed as victims of our heredity. And this is a wake-up call. Now, the dream state is a very important state. It's a disembodied identity. I go, disembodied? Well, listen, for 40 years of my life, I was not a spiritual person. But I've been studying cells for, well, now that I'm really old, I've been studying cells for a long, long time. And what I learned is no two people in the world have the same identity. I go, what does that mean? I go, you cannot take your organ, let's say a kidney or a lung, and put it into another human being. I go, why not? Because when you transplant an organ, the recipient of that organ, their immune system will say, not self. I said, what do you mean? I said, the cells in your body and the immune system know your cells from anybody else in the world. Anybody puts an organ into another person, the recipient of that transplant, their immune system will eliminate that transplant and refer to it as foreign, not self. Well, this led me on a quest. I said, as a professor of immunology, I was showing people that the immune system sees physical things, viruses, bacteria, parasites. I said, what is the immune system seeing when a foreign organ is transplanted into a person? Well, it turns out, and this is so cool because it woke me up and changed my life, that on the surface of our cells, with the exception of red blood cells, that's why red blood cells can be transferred based on blood type, A, A, B, O, etc. Cells that have a nucleus, organ cells, for example, cannot be transplanted. I say, why? Here it is. On the surface of their cells, there are proteins like antennas, okay? In fact, they're called self-receptors. Self-receptors are unique proteins. Receptors means receivers, okay? And I say, built into the skin, the receptors are on the outside of the cell membrane, so they stick up like that. I go, so why is this important? Because they receive a signal. I go, yeah, but where's the signal coming from? Outside the system. I say, what is that signal? Well, there's 8 billion people on this planet, and no two people in the entire world have the same set of antennas, receptors or receivers, antennas. I go, so why is that important? Because no two people have the same download of what? In physics, it's called an energy field, okay? Now, field, this is the connection. In physics, field means, definition, invisible moving forces that influence the physical world. And guess what? The spirit definition, spirit, invisible moving forces that influence the physical world. Quantum science has recognized there's an energy field that is called spirit and is downloaded into those antennas. Consider a radio like FM, and you turn the dial, there's one station, another station, another station. Each human is a station in the energy field called spirit, and each of us has our own download. And all of a sudden, I said, oh my God, my identity is the spirit download. We always look
Bruce,
at the
I'm just
body and
going to
say,
have to
that's me.
jump in
What's
there.
that,
Sorry.
darling? We're getting a spirit download from Johan. We
It's true. But
don't
I
want to
want you to
interrupt.
hold that dream because it's such a powerful moment to pause.
Yes,
Because what you've
everybody
said, there's
breathe.
so much for listeners to reflect on. And I'm itching to ask you about what happens when we change those beliefs and how to move it beyond just positive thinking, etc. But let's just take a pause now. Unfortunately, we have to hold that dream.
We'll see you on the other side.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, dreamers. We're back. I hope you've been meditating in that wonderful bit that Bruce was talking about, Teresa.
Bruce Lipton, everyone, drum roll. We're continuing our conversation with you now because your new book, Beyond Darwin, which I believe is available on Amazon right now, please do check it out if you haven't already. It takes some of the ideas that you've just been discussing with us today and puts them in a much bigger evolutionary picture.
Bruce, you make this fascinating leap from Darwin's idea of survival of the fittest toward what you describe as survival of the most conscious. I love that. Because on the surface, the world can look like we're heading into completely the wrong direction. Climate crisis, social division, and inequality, corporations struggling to adapt. I mean, but you say we're not necessarily witnessing the end of the story, but we're in the cocoon, which I love. So here's my question. What makes you confident that the chaos that we're experiencing around us is, or witnessing around us is actually part of the evolutionary transformation rather than just evidence that we've lost the plot and we've gotten ourselves into an enormous fix?
No, there's a very fundamental, important point that has to be made, and that is this: today's civilization requires the resources of 1.6 planets. That's right now, we have to use that much resource to maintain civilization. I go, well, there's a problem. We only have one planet. Where's the extra 0.6 resources coming from? Well, humans are destroying the ecosystem to take out of the Earth all the resources possible at the cost of destroying the environment, at the cost of threatening the web of life. We are now facing a pollution character that is destroying human civilization. The significance is this. We can no longer sustain civilization at the way it is living at this moment. We require too many resources. Science has identified that we are facing, and I want to emphasize the word, irreversible collapse of civilization because we're extending beyond our means. And so the symptoms of all the chaos everywhere on the planet, every country has some form of chaos going on, are symptoms of non-sustainable life. So when I look at it from the biological point of view, nature is saying, you can't do this anymore, friends. You have to change. And we can't fix the current system because the governments and the leaders of our world are corrupt. And the issue is this, you can't put a Band-Aid on the situation. It has to collapse so we can build a new one. A famous futurist told us very much that you don't go in and fix the system. You step outside and build a new system. And then people will come from the old to the new. Yes, there's a collapse going on. Why? Not sustainable. I'm sorry. I want to apologize for America. our leadership is crazy. But let me tell you, he's doing the most wonderful job. I go, huh? He's destroying civilization. He's destroying the U.S. He's throwing a monkey wrench into the world. I go, that's a good job. I go, yes. Why? Because it's not sustainable. It has to collapse. And we're watching the collapse live right now. And the relevance about that is we're moving into another place. And it's important for people to recognize, not to fear the collapse, because if it doesn't collapse, we're facing an end nobody really wants to come and see because we're extending beyond our means. We have to move from where we are to another place. And let me offer this to the young people. And when I say young people, now that I'm over 80, young people means 40 years old and younger are kids to me. And I want them to recognize something. They see hopelessness. They see the world as a place they can't even get engaged in. I go, that is a good sign. What do you mean? I go, because the young people are the ones that are going to move from the old vision into the new one. The young people think there are no jobs. Well, guess what? At this moment, there are all new jobs are being created. The old corporations have been destroying civilization. The new technology about saving the environment, saving ourselves, helping us as individuals live in community and move. This new technology is happening right now. So I want the young people to know, don't worry about joining the old stuff. That's falling down. It's time to recognize, to let go, and we're moving into a new world at this moment.
I mean, you're so right, and your brother, your soul brother, Greg Braden, said that last week too. We are in a collapsing time, and things need to be collapsed before they can rebuild, and that's what we need to do. And I absolutely adore what you say in Beyond Darwin about not survival of the fittest, but survival of the most conscious. Mm-hmm. But Bruce, what does that actually look like in everyday life? People listening, what's one belief or behavior or thing they could do right now that could help them become part of that evolution that you talk about in the book, that much needed evolution, rather than simply watching it happen or being passive?
Oh, yes.
Dreams play a part in that, working with your dreams.
This is so important, and I'm so glad you bring it up because it says, is this hopeless? I go, no, no, we have to move. And I say, how? I say, first thing is this, we have lost contact with the garden. The environment is a garden. Let me emphasize something about a garden. The garden is the height of cooperation. Every organism in the garden, from insects to animals to plants, live in harmony. That's what makes the garden and what makes it beautiful, okay? We have lost our connection. The Bible, for example, in Genesis says, nature was created and then humans were added onto nature as if we came from something separate. No, we evolved from nature. If nature goes down, so do we. So the whole idea is this, we have to come back into the world of harmony. The indigenous people of this world saw their world as a garden and saw themselves as gardeners. And that's what we can do now, is start to say, how can I bring harmony to the garden? The old hippie thing was, before you go and change the world, take care of your own backyard. And this is critical because our own backyard is not just our place where we are living, but it's in our mind. What's going on in our mind? We have to change this vision. That the idea of Darwin, which is summarized as survival of the fittest and the struggle for life, is the disaster that we're experiencing today. I'm really sorry, England, because he's one of the national heroes. And I have to say, he was not only wrong, but his idea is the cause of the self-destruction, the idea of competition and survival of the fittest. Let me emphasize something. The word fit, definition, capable of surviving. Then I say, well, line up all the people. I say, this group, they're just fit. This group is more fit, so they're fitter. And then this group is called the fittest. And I go, survival of the fittest is not survival of the fit. I say, in Darwin's time, Victorian England, there was upper class, lower class. The upper class called themselves the fittest and didn't care about the rest, okay? And the relevance about that is today, that fittest has transitioned from not upper class, but to those with all the money, the resources. Why? Money is energy in a tangible form. I go, so what? Life is energy. You have energy, you got life. You have no energy, you have no life. And the idea is now 1% has taken over 60% of all the resources on the planet. That means, well, 1% owns more than 60% of the resources, 8 billion people are competing for the leftover resources. That's the struggle for life. We're manifesting our own struggle. Why? A garden is a struggle. So we have to let go. This is the whole consciousness part. It says, you've been fighting who? Yourself. We have to let go of that. And the idea is the collapse is nature's way of saying time for something new to happen here.
And on that point, Bruce,
as Teresa brought up,
bring in some voices to really, you know, you wanted us to have a dream party. That I'm
having a party.
Listening with what you're saying, and I know I can see our guest presenters and the wonderful medium Suzanne Giesman, yes. And clinical psychologist Dr. Amy Robbins, and our cosmic compass Alexandra Wenman, and actor and intuitive Phil Webster. They're just bursting to join as well. We feel very greedy, don't we? Sometimes, Kelly.
I know. We'll share Bruce with them.
We will share you, but reluctantly, I'm going to tell you. But each of them brings a completely different perspective to the questions, and we love that show to have different perspectives from consciousness and intuition to psychology, well-being, and the mysteries of our inner world. Kelly,
and we're asking big questions here. What happens when we become more conscious of the beliefs that shape our lives? So we need these other perspectives to help round it out.
But Bruce, so we could talk to you forever.
Let's start with Suzanne.
Honestly, you've got to come back, Suzanne. I'm going to come to you first. Suzanne Giesman, one of the world's most famous mediums now, former admiral with the Navy.
No, commander, please.
Sorry. Did I promote you or did
That's
I?
still
No, beyond my pay grade.
Did I promote or
commander.
demote?
Oh, promoted big time, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Well, I think commander's good enough.
We think you are the be all end all, Suzanne. So,
Of medium, okay. I'm going to come, and you are healing so many people from the inside out with your work that you've been doing these last few years. Thank you, Suzanne. I'm going to come to you first. You spent so much of your life exploring consciousness and what lies beyond our everyday perception. What would you like to ask Bruce about the relationship between consciousness, belief, and our physical reality?
Oh, I love being able to talk to Bruce, who knows so much about cellular biology. And Bruce, I have experienced the phenomenon ever since I learned that we're part of a greater reality. I dove in to find out how it's possible that I can sense the presence of those who are no longer in a physical body. But not only do I sense their presence, I experience the physical symptoms that they had before they passed. It's very evidential to their family members that I'm talking with. For example, suddenly my own heart will feel as if it's palpitating, and that person on the other side had a heart attack, and that's how they died. Or I'll get a piercing pain in my head, and I know that they passed from an aneurysm. I even had one time a little dog that I identified as a Shih Tzu that my client had across the veil. And I asked the dog's spirit, "How did you pass?" And I went, "Ow," as I got a piercing pain in my kidney. And the client confirmed the dog had passed from kidney disease. So my question to you is, my hypothesis is that we're all fields of consciousness, as you said, and I simply merging and coming into resonance with a spirit's field to the point where their symptoms appear in my own awareness. I'd love your take on the mechanism that's happening there.
It's a wonderful question. The resolution involves this. We have been led to believe that the universe has two realms, a physical realm and an energetic realm. That is the illusion that quantum physics broke in 1927 because it showed that at the base of an atom, when you take it all apart, at the bottom is an energy vortex. That atoms are made out of energy. Well, then that means everything made out of atoms is also energy. And the significance is energy has no borders, energy has no time limit to it. Energy is who and what we are. We are all vibration, and that our biology is an expression of that vibration. Now, the idea is this: as I mentioned, a person's identity, as we've associated with the body, the physical, is incorrect. The person's identity is an energy field, a spirit separate from the body. That's why people say they died, a body died. Well, look at it this way: a spirit is like a broadcast, and the body is like a television playing the spirit. So you're watching the Bruce show on the Bruce television. But if I die, when the television breaks, we say television is dead. I say, yeah, the television died, but did the broadcast die? I go, no, the broadcast is always here. So the significance is there's no such thing as death except for the loss of the TV. Our identity is a field. Now, Suzanne, your ability is to get in touch with that field. Well, when you're identifying a person, you're identifying their energy field, which is a reflection of their life. So when you connect with their energy field, you can take that field and bring it into your own feeling and sensation. You're downloading their energy,
Yep.
which has their physicality experience in it. And so you're identifying the nature of our immortality, number one, but that each of us is a unique vibration and spirit affected by our physical lives. And you, Suzanne, have the power to touch that energy field of a spirit, but then feel it in your own physiology. Your cells are responding to the vibration of another person's field, and therefore you are reading another person's life. Our lives are not the TV, our lives are the field. And the significance is that field is an energy, and for those that are capable, you can download another entity's field and then therefore have direct contact with people that are not even here anymore in the television sense.
All of us are
always here in the broadcast, which is we can't die. We're not
in here.
We are out here broadcasting through the TV.
But our sponsors are here in this.
Suzanne's got it down. Suzanne can tune in to the broadcast. And then it's an energy field, and her cells can experience the energy of another person.
Suzanne, I'll give you a chance to answer Bruce right after the break. But I love what you said about field, Bruce, because, of course, we are the field of dreams here.
Yes, we are. Oh, that was very good. That's our cue for our next break. So stay with us, as you never know what kind of dreams may come on this show.
Or nightmares. Hold that dream.
Hold that dream. See you on the other side.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, dreamers. We're back. And before passing over to our rest of our dream team, Suzanne, was there anything you wanted to say to Bruce in answer to what, I mean, this brilliant discussion you were having, because we're always so blessed when you're on the show. Is there anything you wanted to further say to Bruce before we hand over?
I just want to thank you, Bruce, for validating an analogy that I've talked for years about us being like the TV set while we're in the body. And then where does the signal go when we pass? But what's so affirming for me and that I love to let people know is that I've actually trained my nervous system to sense those subtle signals, but all of us have this ability. It's not a special gift because we are the fields that you're speaking of. All of us are. So it's just exciting for more people to come to understand that, because that's where we find that cooperation and that connection that your new book talks about. So thank you.
We are the field of dreams. I love that. Amy, I'm going to come to you now. As a clinical psychologist, this is Dr. Amy Robbins, everyone, host of the podcast Life, Death and the Space Between, who joins us most weeks. And it's just, again, such a joy to have her here. Amy, you bring such an important perspective to this conversation, because we've been talking about beliefs, but changing deeply held beliefs isn't always easy, is it? So, Amy, what would you like to ask Bruce?
Yeah, so that's always my question, right? I'm always looking at, like, what do we do in the moment with the people that I work with who are so overwhelmed by the state of chaos in the world today? And their systems are either depressed or anxious. They can't tolerate everything that's happening. So what is one or two simple steps we can encourage people to do to move to what you describe is this potential leap to super organism humanity? Because that feels like a far place from people who are, you know, just trying to get through day to day, anxious about the state of everything that's happening.
Well, thank you for that. A very important aspect is this. The mind, when we say the mind, it sounds like there's a single mind. The fact is, no, there are two minds that are interdependent. There's a conscious mind, the latest evolution of the brain, which is the one that connects to the broadcast of our spirit. That makes us unique identity. But the subconscious mind is the powerful mind. It's the one that is the equivalent of a hard drive. It has programs from our experiences in it. Now, the idea is this. The conscious mind is creative. The subconscious mind is habit. Okay? Well, the habits we acquire from our life experiences and actually from downloading from our parents and our community before age 7. The programs in the subconscious mind do not in any way conform with the wishes and desires of the conscious mind. That the subconscious mind turns out to run the show 95% of the day. The reason is when the conscious mind is thinking, it's not paying attention to the outside, it's inside. And so when you're thinking, then the subconscious is autopilot. It takes over. But it takes over based on the programs, most of which are negative, disempowering, self-sabotaging. Now, the individual does not see their own program. The reason, they're playing a program because they're thinking, they're not paying attention. But everybody else sees those programs. Now, the thing is, let me bring this up because it's personal to me. I would have called myself manic depressive when I was younger. I said, why? Well, when I was happy and everything was great, it was fabulous, and when things would go wrong, depression sink down. And so I want to make a point because that spirit talked to me during a depression moment. I had a really bad day in the lab, and I kept berating myself with programs of not good enough, not smart enough, blah, blah, blah. It was like somebody on my shoulder going, you're not deserving. You're not that good, blah, blah, blah. I was going, bah. And a voice, disembodied. I was the only one in the lab at that time, and the voice was right out here. And the voice says this to me, Bruce, don't you have anything better to do than to listen to this crap? And it stopped me dead in my trip. I'd rather see a movie. So I looked, there was a paper, a movie. I picked it up, went to the movie. The depression was gone. And then I learned the point.
Yes, and this is it.
Depression hits. All you have to ask yourself is there anything better I can do than to listen to this and then seek that better thing? Because the moment you're seeking it, you let go of the program. And that woke me up, and I've never had a depressed moment again, because once a depression thought started to come in, the learning of, hey, I can do something better than to listen to this. And it was like instant. I lost that. Now I'm manic all the time, but no question. But the point about it is what?
It's a pattern.
It's a runaway mind. And the only way to stop it is to take back control. And that's when the conscious mind has to stop and say, wait, I have the choice. I can continue this dialogue, which is discouraging at best, or I have a choice to do something different. If we learn that, it would end depression instantly. Why? I know it. It ended my whole thing. And as I became aware, I haven't been depressed in the last 50 or so years. Why?
Wow.
Anytime it was a thought of depression would come up, the override was do something else. Stop. Right now. There used to be a show on TV called The Bob Newhart Show, and he was a psychologist. And it was always fun because no matter what the person's problem was, they would come and say, but I got a problem, everything. And he, as a psychologist, would say, just stop it.
you make the exact case for why connecting with spirit is so important. Like, you just made my case. Thank you.
Speaking of spirit, let's bring in our our cosmic compass.
Yeah, where's
And
the
I love
compass
the
going to
way.
stop today? We never know. We'll spin it.
Exactly. We're spinning it around our cosmic compass, Alexandra Wenman. And because she always talks about the exploration between consciousness, intuition, cycles, bigger patterns that surround us. So, Alexandra, welcome to
Spin
the
your wings.
show.
Thank you, guys.
What question do you have for Bruce?
I have, Bruce, a major passion for sacred mathematics and symbolism, mainly because angels and light beings talk to me almost in those codes all the time when I'm channeling. And I've built healing systems out of it. But I want to hear from you because, excitingly, I know that your new book, Beyond Darwin, talks about fractal patterns. And you mentioned the idea that evolution follows these recognizable patterns of breakdown preceding transformation. And I know that's true in terms of our ideas and our beliefs, but I want to know if you feel that goes into the dream state as well. And is our subconscious also kind of bringing up patterns for us to notice and release before we move forward?
Well, let me just say this about the dream state. That is a separation of the broadcast from the TV set. When you're in the broadcast, outside of the programming of that subconscious mind, you have freedom. That's where all the thought comes from. And then, as you are capable of doing, and all of us are capable, but you are specializing in, you can tap into not just your own broadcast, but you can tap into the field. And this is, you know, the whole Akashic record, so to speak. All the information we need is there, but people have a difficult time letting go of the reality, let go of the TV, and follow what's going on in the broadcast. And all of the resolution that we need to bring the garden back is built into that energy field of history, of information. All information is available up there. And the important part now is, as you brought up, we have to let go of the current dysfunctional situation and move into this other vision. Well, that vision is out there. And that vision is this. There's a history of organisms from fish, amphibians, reptiles, birds, mammals, okay? There's a pattern of consciousness that is that pathway. And the fact is this, human civilization has gone through a fish stage, mariculture, an amphibian stage is agriculture. It went into reptile stage, which is the industrial era. Reptiles are machines, so to speak. We went through the bird phase. That was aviation from the Wright brothers until landing on the moon and seeing the Earth. And that is the activation of the last phase of civilization. I say, what is it? We saw the Earth as that blue-green, beautiful thing in darkness of space. And we said, that's all we are. That's all we have. And people woke up because they sent that picture of the Earth back, and it was the first Earth Day. And it said, what? We must nurture the planet. Well, nurture is mammals. And so civilizations moving from the dinosaur reptile industrial age, moving into the mammalian nurturing age. And this is the part of the harmony. The fractal pattern showed how we move from fish, amphibians, blah, 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 and moving now into the mammal nurturers, nurturing ourselves, but more important, nurturing Mother Earth.
I
That's
like
why we are
so
evolving
much.
In a pattern. And this pattern is up right now. And it says, let go of that industrial complex
yes.
that is ripping the Earth apart. Move into nurturers. The
moving
pattern
into
of
angelic
mammals.
Consciousness. That's
yeah.
Lovely, isn't it?
Well, speaking of nurturing and angelic consciousness,
storytelling,
also,
it was like very movie-esque.
I know.
Yeah.
It makes me think of Phil, our resident actor, life coach, author. So Phil, I know you've got a quick question for Bruce while we still have a couple minutes with him. So take it away, Phil.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
So I've got a daily ritual where I'll wake up and I'll avoid going online. I won't look at my phone for like an hour or something like that because it just seems that we're bombarded all the time with all this negativity. Given how much fear is broadcast to us every day, and we're essentially hardwired to look for the negative, is this stress, is it, and this is coming back to something you touched on earlier, is it like a necessary breakdown before a major breakthrough? And will we look back on this time as a necessary stage of evolution? And if I try and bypass that by sticking my head in the sand, am I effectively bypassing my human sovereignty?
No, I think it's a wake-up call. It's interesting because I learned it was called the Serenity Prayer. The Serenity Prayer, which now is an important part of my life, is recognizing there are things you can do and take care of, and there are things that we cannot be, we have no influence over, but we buy it. And that makes it worse. Why? There's a problem, and you can't do anything about it. And therefore, the moment you get caught in it, it's like you've lost your energy. Why? I'm taking a beating, and I can't fix it. And the idea is to separate from those things that you can't be involved with, like you were doing in the morning. Separate. And why? Start to focus on what you can do. Why? Because I can't change Trump. So should I try at this moment? Nobody cares what I say about that.
We
But
care.
when we become more mammal, we'll take care of each other, and then the community will override the problem. But first, we have to identify ourselves, separate from the angst, and then join community. And that is our evolution, working in harmony with those that agree with us.
Thank
Perfect.
you.
And that's the
Wow,
power of
perfect.
the show. Sorry to jump in. Bruce, it's been an absolute honor and a blessing today, hasn't it, Kelly? Please, if you're listening, go and check out Beyond Darwin.
Oh.
You've given us so much food for a thought when we're awake and sustenance for our dreams tonight, hasn't it, Kelly?
Oh my goodness, exactly. Everybody, make sure you get your copy of From Beyond Belief as well. Beyond Belief and also Beyond Darwin. You've challenged us to think differently about genes, environment, consciousness, cooperation, and our own potential to participate in our future. It's so exciting.
It is so very, very exciting. And please, everyone, sleep well and dream big. Because that's where the
Absolutely.
healing begins, from the inside out, as Bruce has been saying today. And thank you, Suzanne, Amy,
Yes.
Phil, Alex. Honestly, the dream team.
The wonderful dream team. So as we part, we're going to listen to our theme song, and don't just listen to the music. Let it
Sound.
change the way you think and dream. Let the sound reverberate the healing power of your dreams.
And focus on the extraordinary relationship between your perception, your beliefs, and your biology. Don't just listen to the music, is it, Kelly? Let it change the way you think and dream.
Amen, sister. All right. Until next week, hold that dream.
The other side. Thank you for joining us on the healing power of your dreams.
If this episode sparked an insight, ignited your dream recall, or even gave you a little giggle, share it with a friend. Because dreamers don't let dreamers dream alone. Right, Teresa?
Right, Kelly. Continue dreaming with us on Instagram and TikTok. I'm the Teresa Chung.
And I'm at Kelly S. Walden. No
And be sure to catch our YouTube after show on UK Health Radio to see our unplugged, unscripted, and unedited shenanigans.
Oh, yeah. And until next time, hold that dream.
See you on the other side.